An incredible late-day surge wrapping up another record-breaking Wall Street week for a lot of reasons. Hi, everybody, and good evening. Welcome to Fast Money. I am Brian Sullivan, and your traders on the desk on this Friday are Tim Seymour, Brian Kelly, Karen Feinerman, and Steve Grasso. All right, let's get right to it. Stocks staging what can only be described as a monster comeback. The Dow up nearly 600 points in the final 52 minutes of trading. The big move likely fueled in part by the Fed. Two key Fed officials hinting that more rate cuts or more could be on the way. And get this, a week that saw a 1,000-point swing in the market nearly every day was ultimately a giant round trip to nowhere. The S&P 500 ended the week pretty much exactly where it began. I think the Dow was able to actually finish slightly higher. Karen Feinerman, this was going to be your chart of the week. We were going to do it the next block. We got a lead with it. Everything's fluid right now. What happened this
week? I know. If you look at the chart, you'll see it was about a 1% move for the week. And imagine what a different feel we would have if every day during the week the market moved 30 basis points each day. And that would get us right where we are right now. That would be the change in the week. But obviously, that's not how it happened. So we have a very different market, a really treacherous market. And up 1,000, down 1,000 day, back and forth, is a really, it's a scary market. And we don't know where the bottom's going to be, but it was really starting to feel very panicky here. And so if you're a long-term investor, you sort of put your toe in, which you did.
Do we take any solace in this bounce back, Tim?
No.
That maybe it's a double bottom, the fear bottom? Whatever you want to talk.
No, my name's not Tim, but I was answering it for you because I wasn't sure what you were going to do.
All right, well, here's what I'm going to do.
I'm going to
kind of disagree with everybody saying nothing happened. No one's saying nothing happened.
Well,
a lot
only Karen
happened.
Spoke, so go ahead.
No. But look, the bond market's not where it started the week. The bond market's down 35 basis points on the 10-year. The short end is come in as well. To me, that's really scary. And the question you have to ask yourself is are the changes in asset prices, so week over week on equities, but overall since we started this pullback, are they proportionate to the decline in fundamentals? Or was the market mispriced? If I look at the fixed income market, I am extremely concerned. And credit spreads have widened this week. So we don't go out on Friday to me feeling in I don't think we should feel good at all.
You're saying look at bonds, don't look at stocks.
Yeah, absolutely, you should. And I realize that there's different dynamics, and there's a deflationary trend, and there's global rates and other parts of the world that might be pulling this into a relative value trade. But that was what we were talking about 2 years ago. This is a very different dynamic. And the Fed, it's deja vu. This feels like last Friday. The same thing happened. We rallied off the bottom, and then we had the Fed threatening to do something over the weekend. They waited until Tuesday.
Go ahead, Brian. That's exactly it, right? For me, I covered some shorts that I had in this afternoon because am I concerned about another rate cut on Sunday evening, some sort of stimulus coming? I don't think any of those will in the long run work, but I don't want to wake up on Monday morning with the market up, the Dow up 1,000 points if I'm short. So take your profits, move on. I think that's what happened at the end of the day here. I would not
short
take
covering.
Any solace. Yeah,
well,
short
but
covering.
Last week, you're down at the NYC.
Yeah.
Was it? A short covering? Was it an outgo?
I'm sure that sounds like human nature. That's a lot of what happened. But let's remember, last week on Friday was rebalanced. It was the last day of the month. You had a lot of money that had to go into equities. There was about $30 billion that had to be bought in to equity side. And they don't have to do it, as I said last week, they don't have to do it on that day. So we could have seen a lot of that transpiring this week. But to your point, if you were short, why would you roll the dice into the weekend? You have Pence meeting with the cruise lines tomorrow. You could hear something out of the Fed. You could hear something about tax breaks. There's a lot that can go wrong. If you're short, you cover. We're not out of the woods.
Okay, so hold on. You guys are talking about sort of a short-term thing, right? Could we get a Sunday surprise or whatever it is? Is there any reason to be longer term or medium term more optimistic because of the way we closed today? Or is it really all just about the Monday morning set?
I think it's more optimistic that we didn't get pressed on the lows because for using Brian as an example, if you were overwhelmingly negative, as you've been in the past, you could have pressed you could have said, you know what, the Fed's not going to do anything. We need a vaccine. We don't need a cut. Or I don't care what Mike Pence does on the tax side for cruise lines. Or I don't care if there's stimulus or if there's anything else that's going to happen. And you press your shorts. We didn't see that. We were down 900 points in the Dow and we fought back. That to me, if you're looking for some sort of a silver lining and the fact that we held 2855 in the S&P cash, to me, was slightly constructive in a world, in a very opaque world.
Just to be clear, if we get some of those things on Sunday night, a Fed rate cut or a stimulus package, I will put my shorts out again, because that is not the solution to this.
Well, if you think about, so Steve's talking about, you know, 2 o'clock today, or maybe 1 o'clock, you looked and you said the market probably now is going to close below last Friday, and that was going to be very significant. So technically, however you want to look at this, small recovery. But if you look at charts that are absolutely broken, it's going to be nice to listen to Carter and get his view a week after we really kind of got to that place, and it looks like not a whole lot's happened. But to me, a lot of these charts, there's no reason equities are going to get away from you here. I don't care what the Fed tells me. There's absolutely zero. I heard companies all week coming out and telling you about what certainly will be not just lower earnings growth, but how about negative earnings growth? How about contraction in EPS? So as far as I'm concerned, I think equities are obviously a pricing mechanism, but it's back to I look at bonds and I look at stocks and I say something is not right on one of these sides. And you know, it might be a little bit of both, but the bond market to me is difficult.
Well, let's look at the fundamentals, right? And I know there's a lot of, listen, there's a huge debate about this. I mean, I was at an event the other night and half the people thought it was a media-created hoax and it's hysteria. Other people are hoarding stuff. South by Southwest was just canceled. Okay, 130,000, I think, attendees over a 2-week period. You're talking about tens of millions of economic activity. That's obviously a bigger example, Karen. So when we look at that just as a litmus test for the economy, do you think that the economic fundamentals in a month, because the market is a discounting mechanism, mm-hmm. will the economic fundamentals in a month or 2 or 3 mirror the kind of market moves that we have seen? Is the market going to be right?
Is the market going to be right that it gets worse and so it'll trade
down? So we'll talk about the airlines being down 40%, and some people on social media will say, I was on a flight and it was full. And they'll think you're being
dumb. Are they going to talk like that?
Okay, but but so I think we will see a real contraction in economic activity. I think that's getting priced in right now. The question, I think, is, I mean, you know, we want to talk about not necessarily coronavirus, but the economy. But this is really on the heels of the coronavirus numbers, right? How quickly do we sort of ramp up the S curve like they did in China and start to plateau? We're a little while away from that, I think. But I think people are going to start to look through that. And I think I don't think the market is just one big monolith where all stocks are priced the same. They're not. Some are in much more danger than others. But if you look at some with great balance sheets, those are the kind of things I want to own.
But I think when you start talking about the airlines, when you look at Delta, I'm only trading off. I really rest on technicals because I have a tough time, as I'm sure the rest of you do, trying to figure out the fundamentals behind coronavirus. So when I look at Delta and it's trading and sticking to that 46 level, which has been pretty good support for the past, I don't know how long, I think you could buy that stock. When you look at where it's come from, these airlines have been in 20, 30, 40%. So to Brian's question, I think they've priced in a heck of a lot of negativity. And how many times do we say it's a kitchen sink quarter? This, if anything, everyone's going to get a pass. No one's going to hold anyone's
quarters.
Finger.
So, you know, as we talk about bottom-up stories, and the airlines are a good place to do it because they're the center of the storm. And if you look at the EPS markdowns, I think they've been totally proportionate. I think they are balance sheet issues in a significant part of that sector. I do think if we're just starting to see, actually, their load rates, everything about their capacity also seems to be getting reeled in. And they're going to start cutting prices. I just got flooded. My email box got flooded with promotions from some of the big airlines. And, hey, you want to go to Europe this summer, it's never looked better. That's coming out now. So that concerns me. But it gets back to, look, you can't just look at it from the side of, hey, is the virus going to impact growth X? And does that equate to what stocks have done? You have to ask yourself, was the market priced 3 weeks ago or a month ago in the right place? Because if you think that the market was fine, then you have every reason then to say, hey, coronavirus is a temporary to short and midterm. We're going to get through this. I believe we will get through this. And despite a South by Southwest or any conference, but, Brian, that you're going to, well, it doesn't really matter.
I think isn't the key more of how long this goes on, okay? I mean, because we had Tilman Fertitta on Power Lunch today, and he owns 600-plus restaurants, 5 casinos, hotels, and Houston Rockets, the consumer king. And he said his restaurant business was down $1 million a week, or a day, rather, in revenue. Usually does 12, so it's about, what, 8 to 8.5% on just the revenue side. If you extrapolate that out 2 months, then it goes back to normal, you could say that's a hit, but it's not the end of the world. Karen, so I think, isn't this really more about how long the slowdown goes?
How long, and that it doesn't get worse than that one of 12?
Let's say airlines lose 30% of their capacity for a month. That's a lot different than losing 30% of your capacity for 6 months.
Absolutely. But it's not all months are not the same. If we're heading into summer when they really make a lot of money and things are like this or like we're going into, that will be bad for them. I think there'll be more downside if we're not feeling better about where the U.S. is in the coronavirus evolution by summer.
I would just say, though, don't discount the fact that this started as a health crisis, but it is quickly morphing into a real economic problem. The more people, whether it's panic, fear, whether it's justified or not, as people stop going to Tillman Furtado's restaurants, as people stop flying, most people don't have savings. So you're dipping in. It takes a long time for consumers to come back and build those savings back up. So I think there's a small, short window here that is closing for the health crisis to be nipped in the bud before economic crisis.
I know this is not normally what we do on Fast Money, but you're bringing up an important point. I think from a human element, you know, you talk about millions of people that have 1 week of savings in their bank account. That's it, 1 week. And then millions more who have they don't have paid leave. Right. They don't have paid sick leave. You know, if you start to see people not be able to go to work and not earn an income that don't have the backup.
That takes a long time
and
to
those,
rebuild.
That's why I wonder if the bond market is doing what it's doing and signaling maybe a sharp recession. No?
I was saying I don't know when the bond market has not done it accurately. And look at Japan. I think this is all about psychology. I think this is all about market positioning as much as anything. And we all know that the market needed some trigger, and it's usually the trigger you're not expecting. Look, how about before used to be bad news plus psychology meant the market went higher? Market psychology was, I was actually going to buy this because bad news was good news. But now you have a case where bad news is truly bad news, and actually bad news is actually in the form of we're getting earnings and we're getting real bottom-up dynamics for companies that are unavoidable. And I just think that that's the biggest thing that's going on here. And I think 3380 or wherever we topped out on the S&P was something that was not where we should be.
But to just to wrap up on the rates issue, though, when you pan back and look at it, I know Carter's going to cover this, but when you pan back and look at a long term chart on rates on the 10-year, it's done nothing but go down. So this is the velocity that everyone is scratching their head because you saw rates start to climb and we thought we were getting to a normalized state, whatever that means. And now the velocity to which it's breaking down, I think, is shocking everyone. But I don't think that means that we're going into a falling off into an abyss of a recession. If we come out of this, your question, if we come out of this in 3 months or earlier than 6 months, I think things will normalize again.
And that's what we have to price out. All right. Well, we can't talk airlines or any kind of transports without talking oil. Oil, and listen, really was the big story today in the market because while stocks may have come back, oil did not. Closed down nearly 10%, hitting fresh four-year lows, losing 9%. OPEC could not come to a deal, guys. They walked out. Russia would not bless anything. People could say it's the end of Russia plus OPEC. Who knows? We're here to look at the stock market. Is oil telling us something also like the bond market, or is oil its own thing?
I think oil's its own thing. I think this is your black swan. The health crisis and coronavirus is a white swan that's quickly turning gray. Oil's your black swan.
In what way?
Well, because we have a lot of debt, as you know, in the oil patch. That's the epicenter for this expansion of debt that we've had since the financial crisis. And so oil is acting on its own. If you get oil down in the $30 a barrel level, that's going to be a problem. That in and of itself was an economic hit. Add on top of it that you have this economic shock from the virus. This is where it starts to get a little concerning.
But there's a little help, I guess, and gas prices come down, jet fuel prices
down. Yeah, but if they're not driving to work, who cares?
I'm trying to find something that's not just terrible, okay? Just give me a break here. Tim, I know you'll agree on this. I wanted to make this graphic for you with you in mind, actually.
All right.
Which is, it's a little complicated. It's spreads, it's bond spreads and prices, and it comes from Miller Tabak. They sent it out this morning, and you could see, if we could put it up, guys, I know we have it, that basically that spreads are blowing out. What that means in plain English is, look at that. So that's corporate bond spreads, triple B to A rated. We're seeing the credit markets start to react here strongly, are we not? And that's the bigger risk.
Well, again, you've got a 35 basis point widening error across that credit class. And the bigger part to be concerned about is this triple B minus big group of companies that in many cases have gorged themselves on debt. Again, if you look at business debt to GDP, we've never been higher. And I realize rates have never been lower. But it doesn't mean that every company can come to market in the same way. And I think that is what is ultimately, you guys are talking about the energy sector. That's the biggest impact of the energy sector. The energy sector is a linchpin for high yield and for distressed assets that I think could then trigger. There's a lot of weak hands in the retail space. There's a lot of lever, you know, and as you get in some of the big industrial companies, look at Ford Motor Credit. I mean, you know, there's dynamics here that this is the trigger. Brian's gray, white, blue, purple.
Yeah, swan. It was white going gray, but
like
this
an LL Bean catalog.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, listen, a good discussion there. We could have done it for hours because there's a lot to get through. We'll do more tonight. So be sure to stay tuned for our continued coverage tonight, 7 o'clock Eastern Time. Markets of Turmoil special. Talk about the markets, the economy. I'm sure more on the latest on the coronavirus as well, and the economy, and really what is an economic story. In the meantime, we are just getting started here on Fast Money. Up next, more on the rate shock yields. We talked about it plunging to record lows. We'll talk about their impact on banks and one key part of the market. And later, why defense may literally be the best kind of offense in this market, where options traders are finding a measure of safety. As always, live at the NASDAQ and back after this. All right, welcome back to Fast Money. Another record-breaking day, he said, in the bond market. It's been a long week. The yield on the 10-year Treasury hitting a new record low, breaking below 0.7%. Closed at 0.773. That historic move having a huge impact on one key part of the market. Carter Worth over at the Plasma to chart it for us. And it's ugly, Carter.
It's pretty ugly. Banks have been ugly for a while, and they just got worse. You all were talking about it earlier, and let's talk about it a little bit more. But first, this is the entire history of the TLT. We know it's been a one-way trade for rates, which, of course, is the opposite for price. But what is now a record is that the TLT is literally to the penny at the top of the channel that it has lived in its entire existence. It literally is touching there as we speak. And even if and as this goes higher, I think the path higher passes through a lower price. In fact, the NASDAQ 100 got to the top of its 10-year channel and backed away. So my hunch is here is that this is truly overdone and you can catch a bit of a downdraft in TLT. But more importantly, banks. This is the KBW Bank Index, and I've got two parts of the chart. It's the top, which is the index itself, and the bottom is relative performance of the S&P. Now watch this. I'm going to put in some lines. And what we have here is the following. On the top, we have now broken, right? We had a very well-defined trend line, and we have broken it. And so if I were to zoom in here, you can actually see this. We're now officially below the line. And we have also broken below to 52-week and 10-year lows on the relative. Let's move forward. Now I'm going to show you an all-data chart that goes back to the 2007 peak. And this is the real tragedy. It's the problem with dilution. Now let's put in some lines. The BKX index never even got back above its 2007 peak. Now, yes, individual banks have, J.P. Morgan, fantastic. But as a bet, as an aggregate, as a theme, as an investment, as an alpha proposition, can't make a high in 10, 20 years, and its relative performance is below its 09 low. And so while there are ones that are better than others, the notion that somehow this has been or ever was a good area never really was true. And it's certainly not good right now.
All right, Carter, we're going to see you coming up in options action as well. BK, the banks.
You know, it's not a great environment for the banks, unfortunately. There is going to be some that actually do. You know, J.P. Morgan will probably weather the storm. There'll be a time to buy the U.S. banks. I don't think they're going out of business by any means. As I said last night, all the fire trucks are parked right outside the banks. They've got their hoses ready. Chances of there being a huge problem with the U.S. banks, I think, are slim. That doesn't mean they're great investments in this environment. I think if you're looking at the banks, the more that I'm concerned about is the European banks. You look at the European Bank Index down 25% from its February highs. That's where the epicenter is going to be if there's problems with the banks.
Yeah, I think if you think about the money center banks, you've had a dynamic where people really focused valuations around what's been going on with the yield curve. We know, in case you haven't done the math, after today, it's now the 10-year yield has dropped 79% since the peak in November of 2018. So there's some dynamic here. I think banks' profitability is much more defendable than just based upon that. The biggest issue would be the credit issues that I think is what people are doing to the banks right now. I don't think this is about profitability.
Yeah, and
it's not their balance sheets, not their right. It's not their credit, to be clear. Sorry.
It's not them. It's right. They hold. It's exactly. The stuff that they hold. So, by the way, I think all of us here wish Jamie Dimon a speedy recovery.
Of course,
obviously,
absolutely.
A sudden situation.
I love Jamie Dimon.
Oh, we know. I didn't want to, but sounds like he's getting better, and that's a good thing. So all of us here wishing Jamie a speedy recovery as well. All right. Coming up, we're going to put the tech in protection, how you can seek safety in one of the hardest hit sectors of this recent sell-off. And a reminder, if you can't catch us live, check out the app. We're back after this. All right, reminder, coverage continues of this wild week on Wall Street, the markets, your money. Again, do not miss our special report, which is Markets in Turmoil, 7 p.m. Eastern Time tonight, right here, of course, on CNBC. All right, it is time now for our final trades. How are we setting up for Monday? Tim Seymour.
Well, so whether it's Campbell Soup or things that have been really defensive here because people are going out and stocking up, you know, Netflix to me being defensive because people are going to stay inside and rent movies is crazy. But this is a stock that I didn't like their cash burn going into this. This is a stock, actually, I shorted today. It's a stock, actually, I think will go lower.
Short Netflix. BK?
Well, for me, it's still about the precious metals. If you think about what's going on, we're having a deflationary shock to the economy. So you cut rates. The next step of that is you devalue your currencies. So gold, Bitcoin, and silver.
Karen.
So, obviously, crazy week. What I'm looking to do is, yesterday, sold some puts. When the VIX was just going berserk, it's scary and hard to do. Could have sold them better today, but what can you do? And then I want to buy quality companies. Alphabet, with the biggest cash hoard nearly on the planet. I think they'll survive well. Clearly, if you know, the economy shrinks, ads shrink, probably decent for YouTube,
though. Buyer of Google. All right, Steve?
Keep an eye on the S&P cash level at 2855. It's imperative that that holds or else we go much lower from there. But Microsoft is my final trade. I think money's going to come back into tech. Watch Microsoft for a bounce.
All right, guys, thank you very much. Crazy. Great job to everybody. Options action will be up right after this short break. Stick around.